It's sad but true that probably everyone who's listening right now has broken up with someone sometime, and it hurt a lot. Well, here with me now is the perfect person to discuss the ins and outs of breakups, the worst, the best, how to get over them, and all the fine points in between. Yes, it's Philip Galanis, whose Social Cues column is published in the Style section of the Sunday New York Times every week. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you, Leonard. Thank you for having me.
And during these visits, we always invite our listeners to call in, especially on something as emotional as this. The number here is 212-433-9692, or you can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Philip, does the first breakup have the biggest impact on one?
Oh, I think they can get cumulatively worse and worse and worse. This is the one area, Leonard, where I don't even try to ask people to appeal to their better natures. This is an area which hits you in your intestines and where all those inner organs meet. It's deep and it hurts. And I try to just get people to appeal to their self-interest. I think it's the only way to get through a breakup. Are you going to come out of this okay?
Well, no matter what the cause, I get the sense there's never such a thing as a really good breakup.
Well, no, I don't think there. I mean, not if it's a breakup, even when it's a mutual parting of the ways. One of the biggest mistakes people make, or the people who write to me, is that they think the breakup is the final thing. As if they will never think of or see or hear from that person. The breakup is just the beginning of a new stage of your relationship with this person. And
even if you never see them again?
Oh, you will always see them again. And if you will not see them again, you will hear from them. You will hear about them. You will be reminded of them every time you hear that Beatles song that you used to listen to together all the time. I don't know. True love, people you've really loved, never disappear from your life.
Especially with Google.
Exactly. Google Alert, moreover. Yeah, exactly.
On the other hand, you could break up with someone and still run into them all the time because perhaps you work with them or you live down the block.
Yeah, one of the funniest ones that I saw on your homepage today was from a lady who said that a man broke up with her and by claiming that he was going to be transferred to Paris for a job, and yet she continues to run into him at the Starbucks on their corner every morning. So she wants to know, can she tee off on him? Well, you know, going to the self-interest thing, I think if you want the baristas in Starbucks to all think, okay, here comes crazy lady, then yeah, tee off. But in the self-interest principle, I say breakups can be a time to really hold your tongue.
But that can also be really painful. I know of a similar situation where someone lives in a small town in California, and her boyfriend said he had developed brain cancer, had to go to Los Angeles because he had to settle up everything and see the doctors. He was going to die within 6 months. And of course, he has been living for the past 10 years.
It's horrible, but who has? But I'm
certainly
guilty.
That was a lame excuse.
But I'm guilty of telling some pretty lame lies myself. You know, even at the depth of those horrible lies, you get a kernel of he must care about her, or he must have cared about something to want to avoid telling her the truth that he just didn't love her anymore or want to go on with her anymore. I mean, you could say, or maybe he was such a bad person. He was so conflict avoidant he couldn't even stand up and tell it. But somewhere buried down deep in there, I think, was a desire not to hurt her. And if brain cancer is what he came up with, you know, God bless him.
That's a little hard to swallow.
Yeah,
what do you do when you break up with someone and they just won't accept the fact that it's over?
You mean they keep calling and keep trying you know? Well, I've never really actually I think I've been broken up with a lot more than I've broken up. So, but I will say that a lot of times, rather than striking out, rather than saying that really cruel thing that you think will get rid of them for once and for all.
It's not you, it's me.
is maybe, you know, maybe some people you do need to break up with two or three times for it finally to get through. But, you know, you were in a relationship with this person. They are in your life now. So if it takes three times of breaking up with them, guess what? That's what it takes.
Well, we should keep in mind that Neil Sedaka did two versions of Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. The first one was up-tempo, and the second one was really slow.
Yeah.
We have a call coming in that I think probably will forward this conversation. Anina from the West Village. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I was silently hoping I wouldn't get on, but okay. So I partly need advice about how to move on. My marriage ended 16 years ago, and my marriage of 16 years ended 16 years ago. And I kind of am not really in a – I'm not yet in a better phase of life, and that sucks.
You've never met another person who you could connect to that would make it a little easier?
Is there another person I could connect to that would make it easier by way of a – I mean,
yeah.
Are you talking about
– Yeah,
another relationship.
Another relationship? Well, you know, I think I'm stuck in that demographic of there are about 35 women for every one man my age and sexual orientation. Not that there's anything wrong with any sexual orientation. I think there's a where else I'm just like completely unlikable.
No, I can already tell
that's not the truth.
I can already tell that's not the truth, but I do think that Leonard put his finger on something that lots of people think, and I actually don't agree with it, that the cure for your getting over your husband of 16 years is not to get a new husband or to get a new relationship. I think the cure for you is going to be to go feel great about yourself doing something. And it might involve sex, but it might involve like a really great yoga practice. You might become the best damn short story writer in the West Village. You can do something, but you've got to find something that you're passionately interested in. Is that? And that doesn't seem impossible to me. That's not about demographics.
Ooh, yeah.
Did you hope that you would get back together again?
Well, no, I don't want to freak him out if he's listening, which I don't think he is, but I would.
Leonard, lots of people listen to Leonard, let me tell you, lots. He could
That's
be.
Right. I know that. I miss him as a human being. I just miss his friendship. I miss the sense of the oldest relative that I had who knew me for a long time. I miss that a lot.
Yeah.
I've removed from the radar the getting back together. I think it would torment me to, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this.
It's Leonard. He does this
to
people.
So,
he gets the deepest stuff out of you.
Did I hope we would get back together? I'm going to say no to that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that friend part is really important, and I'm sure we've all had that experience as well. I had a former girlfriend who I, a little while after we broke up, I sent out a little thing that suggested that we could still be friends, and she sent back something that told me, no, we could not be friends.
It was smeared in dog poo, and you decided it was probably
a message.
And
that was the end of that. Okay, yeah. We move on now.
Yeah, but I think you can move on, too. I think you can move on, too, Anina. And I don't think that means that you have to say the time you had with your husband was lousy. I don't think it means you need to trash him. But I do think you need to find something you can be excited about. And I think that can happen no matter how old you are.
Thank you for your call. Our number here, by the way, is 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter. Part of the problem for many people is that when people break up, their friends often take sides. And that makes it so much more painful.
It does because you are losing a community. you and your spouse, or you and your significant other or partner, were a part of a little world, and that little world often, unfortunately, falls apart. People feel like they need to choose sides. I think what happens more than choosing sides is that people are often projecting their own guilt or shame or bad feelings about things they've done in their prior lives onto one of the partners or the other. But it's a fact. Worlds fall apart.
And then there's the other side of it. It is difficult for friends to try to remain friendly with both, because one of the breakups will often reveal that he or she is feeling betrayed.
Right. Sometimes for really good, reasons, sometimes not. It's one of the things that's very hard in the giving of advice department is that every relationship is a little bit different, too. And who knows what drove her off, or who knows what made him finally say one day, you know something, I can't do this anymore. But I do know that there's no reason on earth that friends have to choose sides. I also understand that there probably won't be the dinner parties that there used to be. And that's something to mourn, too.
What if you're the friend of someone who just got dumped? What's the best way to handle that? Just give them a shoulder to cry on?
It's the total shoulder to cry on mode. And no matter how many times they ask you to corroborate that the guy was a piece of dog poop, you never, ever, ever take them up on it. Because as soon as you do, it's like a magic window opens and the old boyfriend comes climbing back in again, and you're left looking like the worst person on earth.
We got to take a call now from Rich from Manhattan. Hi, Rich, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. Thanks. Do you recall having Mike Nichols on your show a while back? He was talking about his play Betrayal.
Of course I do. That was one of the most open guests I've ever had in my life.
It was a great conversation, Leonard, and he beautifully discussed this very topic. And one thing he did talk about was the love-time connection. And the takeaway from it was largely that for most people in relationships of love, is there's really no answers. There's only living with the questions. And the first woman that called you, I would like to address that to her, especially because a lot of these times, 16 years seems like a long time, but when it comes to that kind of subject, it's like turning a battleship. It could take forever, and eventually you will get there.
That's great. That's a great way of saying it. When you were talking, it made me think of Love in the Time of Cholera and that great 40-year fight between the husband and the wife over whether she had replaced the soap in the sink or in the bathroom shower or not. The idea that things will take the time, that healing will take the time it heals and moving on will take the time it takes, and it's better for us as bystander. I mean, if we're a bystander to it, better for us to just stand there and be where they are. And if we're in it, to try to be as kind and patient with ourselves as we can be. The question that Leonard raised a little earlier is, if you're not the battleship that needs to be moving, but if you were the battleship's one-time partner, being patient while that battleship finally moves and is able to sail off in another direction can be very, very difficult. And when you want to move on and your partner doesn't want to, it can put a real strain on being in the same neighborhood or city sometimes, even.
Especially if your ex tells you he's moving to Paris and winds up
exactly
going to the same Starbucks
every morning.
Philip Galanis writes the Social Cues column weekly in the Style section of the Sunday New York Times. We're talking about breakups today. And we'll be taking more of your calls and also reading some of the things that you have written into our show page at WNYC.org right after we take a little break. Stay with us.
I hope that the friend you've thrown yourself with gets drunk and loses his job. And every road
that you travel on is dusty, rocky, and hard. I couldn't make you love me. You only made me blue. So all in all, if the curtain should fall, all I hope that it falls on you. I will have sweet, sweet, sweet mental revenge. I will have sweet, sweet, sweet mental revenge.
We're back with Philip Galanis, whose Social Cues column is published in the Style section of the Sunday New York Times every Sunday. Have you missed a Sunday?
You know something? I have not ever missed a
Sunday. Because we get Gail Collins is off, Charles Blow is off, yeah. Paul Krugman is off, but we never get Philip Galanis is off.
I know, because the really important stuff has to happen every week.
We are talking about breakups today and how to handle them. Sam in Fort Greene wrote us, quote, I recently got dumped over text. We only went out on about 5 dates, but he was very clear that there was no future here. I was really hurt both by being dumped and by the fact that he did it in a text message. I didn't want to write back something bitchy, so I just didn't respond. Should I call him to try to talk, or is it through and should I just move on? I imagine that could just as easily be email.
Sure.
I don't know whether a telephone call is more acceptable.
Well, you know something? The fact that the writer didn't have a chance to say what he was feeling is really a shame, because that means it wasn't a completed interaction, but it was exactly what the dumper wanted to achieve. So I think
clean break quickly without too much pain.
Well, yeah, clean break with no pain to him and a failure to acknowledge the humanity of the other person who'd been out on 5 dates. I would say that somebody who breaks up like that, and it could be any of us because we've all taken the easy way out at one time or another, wasn't really thinking of you. He was just thinking of how do I stop this awkward situation fast. I don't think it pays to try to go chasing after people who've already said, listen, I'm not going to give you the courtesy of a chance to reply.
But it was only 5 dates. This would be very different if it was a year or so, and people have broken up that way.
But the younger,
after a longer relationship.
Forget, we're gentlemen of a certain age, Leonard. Remember, for younger people, going out on 5 dates, that could be something significant. I remember when going out on 3 dates was the magic number. And so once you got to 5, you were already halfway down to, I don't know, Barney's New York when it was on 17th Street to buy something to commemorate your time together. But I'd steer clear of this one. I think it's breaking up by text or by email is mean, but I don't think he necessarily meant it as mean. I still wouldn't go chasing after him because he wasn't the kind of guy who is really willing to put himself in your shoes anyway.
Judy in Brooklyn writes, I feel like one of the most common ways relationships end now is a slow fade where you never get dumped officially, but the other person just texts and hangs out with you less and less. Sometimes it can be mutual. Other times, once I realize I'm being slow faded, it seems almost not worth confronting the person I was dating. Is there any way to prevent the slow fade?
Well, yeah. I think it's counterintuitive, Judy, because it's exactly what you don't want to do, as to say, let's talk about what's going on here for a minute. And they may say, yeah, I'm not feeling it so much. Or, you know, one of the things that I've found a lot of since I've started doing this, especially in urban places like New York, where we live, is that Match.com and Nerve and Manhunt and Gaydar, they create this idea of a limitless pool of possibilities. And all of a sudden, there's always somebody right over your shoulder who might be sensational. So things have a little harder for relationships to take hold. And I think the way we prevent them from slipping away is to follow your impulse and to say, listen, I feel like this is what's going on here. What do you think about it? And that would be a way maybe of waking the guy up.
Tom, hi, you're on the air. Tom from Forest Hills.
Hi, Leonard. I was really concerned about the woman holding the 16-year torch. I have a daughter who's just finished junior year in college, very small college, a year and a half romance on campus. And the boyfriend broke up with her just before spring break and her 21st birthday. So it was a twofer.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult getting her to complete her courses, which she thankfully did, but I'm fairly certain it hurt her academically, and I'm concerned about it being such a small place.
Yeah.
They're in the same year, running into one another 3 or 4 times a day, and whether she's even going to get back there for senior year.
Tom, if you could see the facial expressions of Leonard and me and everyone in his production booth, we are all feeling her pain because we've all been there. We've all had very close friends and brothers and sisters who've been there. But you know something? I think that we take a gut punch and we have to figure out a way to stand up and keep walking. And I wouldn't try to be too much of a helicopter parent here and get too involved. She'll find a way to stand up. And if after a couple of months she doesn't, then it's time for you to get involved and maybe get her try to encourage her to get some help or talk to somebody about it. But for right now, give her the chance to try. She's in the boxing ring, and give her a chance to try to get back up and walk forward on her own. But God, I really sympathize with you for having to watch someone you love go through this so much.
But the big problem here is that she's in school, and this is a very powerful emotional situation, and it's affecting her school life. It's really hard to compartmentalize, especially when you've decided this person is the love of your life.
Well, also that she's so young and probably doesn't have the world experience to know that we've all been dumped by the love of our lives probably at least once, but this maybe was her first significant relationship, so that makes it even harder.
Tom, good luck. There's a relationship status on social media sites like Facebook that have come into all of this. The world has changed an awful lot.
Since
I was a kid.
Many correspondents, social cues, will write to me and say, you know, the way I found out that my relationship was over was that I went on her Facebook page and I saw that she said, you know, it went from being in a relationship to it's complicated overnight with not a word to hurt him in the meanwhile.
Well, one listener wrote in, I got broken up with and I didn't realize it was truly over until my ex ended our relationship on Facebook and unfriended me. I don't know why this felt more real than when we broke up in person.
Yeah, I do, because you probably spent a great deal more time behind your desk sort of gazing at Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and than you actually did together. And that's not a criticism of you, it's just where we are in the culture right now. And the unfriending is sort of like what the guy talked about when he got a text. It's a kind of bitch slap on top of something that's already hurtful. So I'm preaching to the converted because none of the people who did these things is calling in, but to unfriend someone is so unnecessary.
Yeah, he could have kept her not unfriend. It doesn't really mean anything except that it's just saying, if you didn't believe we broke up,
here's real proof. Here it is. I can understand also from the Facebooker's point of view, she didn't want her old boyfriend seeing what she was up to. But there's a way to sort of slowly there's a way to give someone enough time to absorb the body blow and then to move on.
Yolanda from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. What about you? Are you holding up?
Okay. I just want to mention, 18 years ago, I ended a marriage of 14 years, and I had two daughters. It was sad, obviously. I am the one who ended the relationship, but I just figured through therapy that I have to make it because of my daughters. And went to school, got a license, and my life changed upside down, totally. Very happy. Got married 7 years ago. Tomorrow is my anniversary.
Great. So you're like the poster child for it does get better.
And what about him?
He remarried, and he have a child. I don't know if he's happy or not. I really don't care.
You're not in contact. There's always the issue of having a child and having to deal with a person who is angry that you broke up with him, and then perhaps sometimes even using the child as a way of getting back at you. And
right.
I've seen that a lot. Did he do that?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. That was 100%. Especially, let me put it this way. He's from the Middle East, and that's really, that's what they do usually. They get back to the women through the kids.
I'm sorry. I don't think that we can blame this on people from the Middle East. I think this is universal, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Couples will often say when they break up, let's not use the child in this. We can agree as adults,
right,
but we'll only say nice things about each other.
It doesn't ever.
And then the next day you learn that the other person said something terrible about you.
It's like when people say it's not about the money. That's your first clue that it's only about the money.
Let's take another call. Elizabeth, hi. Elizabeth from Queens, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Tell us a story of woe.
Oh, yes. Well, it was a you're not of the same status I am situation. Like when we started out, we were on the same social level, I guess. And then I lost my business and his business took off and I lost my home and he convinced me to move. And then 10 months after doing all that, basically he was like, you know, I'm a man of the world and you're not.
You're no longer good enough for him.
Yeah.
Right.
It meant something to him to have a partner who was, you know, who was as glittering as he was. And you know something? If that's the way, you know, life deals us lots of really hard blows. And if you, can you think of it in some ways, Elizabeth, as a kind of, if he couldn't be with you through the loss of a business, think how terrible it would be to find out that he couldn't be with you when something really serious happened to your health or to someone in your family or, you know, the inevitable things that happen to us as we age.
And we don't want to feel that we're not the other person's equal when we're in a relationship.
Yeah, but
the other person doesn't feel we're in his or her.
But it's preposterous to think that because you had a business setback that you're not in somebody's league anymore. That's sort of the kind of shallow thinking that wouldn't be – I mean, it's not your thinking. I know, Leonard, but you wouldn't want somebody around who was thinking like that anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. You don't want to be with somebody who thinks you're not his equal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry it happened to you, but maybe it was all for the best. He sounds like a bit of a jerk.
Well, that's why I left. I mean, I think when situations like that happen, you have to make the hard call and just be like, this person doesn't even value me. But, I mean, it definitely left some wounds, like exit wounds, because I really had nothing to hang my hat on in terms of like, well, life's all right. It's like, well, no, actually, it's kind of rough. And then
You're probably going to be a little more sensitive to anyone saying anything to you in the near future about that, that makes you think that your status somehow in the world is being sort of derided. So these things have sort of ripple effects too, but you sound like you're pretty self-aware of what the of your situation, and that's really good.
Peter, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I was hoping to briefly tell my story to reaffirm something that your guest said about finding something you're passionate about after a breakup.
Terrific. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I had broken up with and was sort of rambling about for a couple of years, not sure what I was up to. And I volunteered, and I started working for an organization that campaigns for human rights. And the last thing I was thinking about when I was across the street from the United Nations protesting was finding someone. But nonetheless, I did meet someone who later became my wife, and now we're expecting our first baby in October. So not only was I think I kind of in the right state of mind, but it might even be somewhat attractive to be passionate about something and not necessarily looking to meet that person.
It's fantastic. I'm sitting here right now, Peter, and I'm thinking I would leave my boyfriend for you in a hot second. You sound fantastic.
Thank you for calling us. Some people have been writing in. Melissa in New Jersey says, can you touch on temporary breakups? Many people in my generation, 25 to 35 years old, have broken up shortly, gotten back together, continued a successful relationship. I fall into this category. How do temporary breakups affect long-term relationships?
Well, that's a great question, because this idea of taking a break, let me tell you from my perspective how I see it. And this is often coming to me through readers who write into my column. The thing that bothered you enough to want to take a break the first time rarely resolves sufficiently so that you're not going to want to take a break a second time. Now, I know there are people who have broken up and gotten back together again, but I often think it's more sort of temporary feelings like loneliness or sort of feeling like you can't get your bearings that send us back to those comfort zones, the people that we used to know, the people we drunk dial on a Saturday night when it's really late. So I'm more inclined to think that when you've broken up and when you've really had a full communication about it, it's probably better just to keep walking and move on. But there are certainly people I know who have had different experiences.
By the way, we're talking about love relationships, but friendships can also just as big a problem, where suddenly you feel that you were dumped by a friend or you got into a situation where it was just too tough to keep it going.
They're hard. Those are breakups can often be even much harder.
We have very little time, but I definitely wanted to take a call from Melissa, because Melissa is the rare caller who actually did the breaking up. Hi, Melissa.
Oh, you monster.
Are you sitting feeling guilty hearing all of these tales of woe?
Actually, I'm not, because in my situation, from the very beginning, I was very honest with my partner, and I told him I just want to keep this light. I had just started grad school, and I'm working full-time, so I knew I wasn't going to have a lot of time to be in a relationship. And we ended up seeing each other for about a year, off and on, and in the end, when I finally ended it for good, I could tell he was really upset, because despite me being completely honest with him the entire time, he thought it was more than it actually was. And I just wanted to share that, because I couldn't have been more honest with him.
Right,
I told him the whole time, and it was just really hard to experience that.
Yeah,
I'm sure for him and definitely for me.
It's a fair point, Melissa, because so often when you're the one who's in love, you see the world the way we see the world the way we want it to be versus the way that it really is. So it doesn't really matter how many times someone says, oh, this is just a casual thing, it means nothing, it's just a fling. If we love you, and who wouldn't love you, Melissa, let's be fair, let's be just frank about it, then of course it's going to hurt. And good for you for being sensitive to him while you cut his heart out.
We've pretty much run out of time, but a number of people have written about things like being manipulated to some degree. Cindy wrote about a boyfriend who said, "This isn't feeling quite right to me," which was a way of keeping the relationship going, but at the same time, it sounds to me that manipulating
putting like
her.
A marker in the sand that says, "Don't be surprised if I take a powder in about 6 months."
Yeah.
Sometimes people also will start being a little passive aggressive because they want you to break up with them so they don't have to break up with you. That's a really common thing too. So when people start saying things like, "This isn't feeling right," rather than withdrawing, I think that we have, there was a woman who called in and talked about the fade, that's the moment where you say, "Well, let's talk about it because it's actually feeling pretty good to me. So let's hear, I'm committed to this, so let's hear what's not feeling right to you. Let's see if we can tease it out and figure out if there's something to work on here or if there's a more serious problem."
Well, Philip, I feel a certain commitment to you.
And
love
as
having
I do
you
to
here.
You.
I hope this friendship continues for
I
a while.
I know that it will, Leonard, if I have anything to say about it.
Philip Galantis writes the Social Cues column weekly in the Style section of the Sunday New York Times. And we'll be seeing you really soon, I hope.
Me too.
Unless I find out that you've unfriended me on your Facebook page.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out.